Last week we started a new series titled The Cast of Christmas. And The Cast of Christmas is about different voices by different people as we listen and learn more about the entire story. And so I'm going to do a little recap. You know, as we think about the four or five different areas we're going to look at, you can go to the second slide, Junie. What we looked at last week was the voice of the prophets. In Isaiah specifically, he lived some 600 years before Jesus was born, and he spoke into the future about the heart of Christmas. And he said a son would be born of a virgin, and he received five different titles or names of who Jesus would be to us. And they're in your notes. I want to do a little review. He said he would be wonderful. You see, when you and I look to Christ at this Christmas season, he can amaze us. He can do things in your life and mine that will literally amaze us if we give him the opportunity. He'll be a counselor. You see, whether you're in high school or college, or maybe you're working, we all need to be directed. Do you know who Jesus can be to you this Christmas season? He can be a counselor. The third name he gave Christ was the Mighty God. I love this one. The Mighty God. We talked about Gideon, and an angel appeared to Gideon and said, "You're going to be a mighty warrior, Gideon." And Gideon said, "No way. I'm the weakest, and I'm the least in my family. There's no way I can be mighty." But here's what God did. He went to work in Gideon's life, and God deposited a part of his mightiness into Gideon's leastness and his weakness. And Gideon became a mighty warrior. He can do that for you. You may feel like you're the least or the weakest in your family. Can I tell you, you're a candidate for the mighty God through Jesus to live inside you. The fourth title that he gave him was the Everlasting Father. You know, we all need to feel loved. Some people have great earthly fathers, some do not. But there's a heavenly Father that will run toward you if you just face him and move in his direction. That's who the heavenly Father is to us. And lastly, he's the Prince of Peace. He can birth peace into your life that you can find no other place. And so the prophet Isaiah spoke about we need to wait patiently in life in order for Jesus to be all those things to us. And so that was the message from the prophets. So today, part two is the message from the angels. You know, angels are involved with the Christmas story. And here's a 40-second video clip that introduces the theme.
In the book of Luke, we read about the most exciting event to ever happen in our world, the birth of Christ. Luke's gospel lays out a story filled with anticipation, intrigue, wonder, and hope-filled news for humankind. It was the day when God's great plan of salvation and redemption was irrevocably launched. And as we look to the cast of characters God gathered together, our eyes are open to a new response, focus, and growth in the Christmas season. Today, we'll look at the angels' joy in response to Christ's arrival and find our own as we proclaim the arrival of Jesus Christ.
So today we're going to look at the angels, and I want to give you two words that I think are the message from the angels, and it's this, it's in your notes. You and I are to live victoriously. We are to live victoriously. Read with me Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 in your notes. Remember, the angel appeared, and then there was a whole bunch of them that appeared, and this is what they proclaimed. Let's read it together. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." I want you to circle the word favor. Picture with me the angels, and this is a picture from what they call Shepherd's Field in Jerusalem, in the Bethlehem area. And when we were there, and this is from a year ago, this is the sky, the very place where they think that the angels appeared and the shepherds were in the valley down below. And we find here the angels said this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I want to talk about favor today. Favor that enables us to live victoriously. The angel said it rests upon mankind. That's you and me. That's everybody. And so there's a huge message, and let me define favor. It's in your notes. Favor is something done out of goodwill rather than from it being earned. Favor is something that is goodwill out of the character of God that we cannot earn. It is just something given. I got a story by Anthony Zabolski who talks about a pastor by the name of Francis Chan. Francis Chan did a wedding for a couple in his church. The bride had lost her husband to death and was left with a 26-year-old child that had the mental capacity of a 6-year-old to raise by herself. She was self-conscious that any man would want to marry her in light of her daughter. And she couldn't believe about what was about to happen. She was about to be remarried to a man that left her and her daughter. Francis Chan, as they continued in the ceremony, shared the wedding vows, and here's what the groom did. When they were about to exchange the rings, the groom calls up the daughter. And not only did he have a ring for his bride, he had a ring for the child, 26 years old, but had mental capacity of a 6-year-old, and he gave her a ring. And the bride was overwhelmed, as were the other people in the service, and many, many, many tears shed. But here's what Francis Chan said. He says, this is an amazing example of the love of God the Father to us. You see, the groom, the man, made a decision to marry his bride, she would become his wife. But he also committed to loving her daughter. And we find that it was a commitment of just loving them out of favor. It was something he wanted to do for both of them. You see, God does the same thing for us. He looks down, and because of who he is, he just extends favor to us. And the angel said that the favor rests upon all of us. Favor. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you three simple thoughts or truths about favor this morning, of how it enables us to live victoriously. So if you take your sermon listening guide, let's get started. Number one. The first thing that favor does in regards to living victoriously is to understand it's bestowed by God, not earned by man. It's bestowed by God, not earned by us. You see, you and I cannot earn it. It is just God's goodness, his goodwill out of who he is, that he bestows that. And so read with me Psalm 84:11 on the back side of your sermon listening guide. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. God bestows it. The husband to that woman and to this to her daughter, he bestowed love. It was a choice, a decision out of who he was to them. You see, God, because of his character, bestows favor upon people, including you and me. There's a great example in the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 30. It's about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And let's read these verses together. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." God the Father picked and chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. It was because of favor. God chose her. You see, God can choose you for a particular assignment in life because of his favor. It won't be the same as Mary's. The person next to you, it won't be the same as him or her. It won't be the same as mine, but he will choose you to do something with your life based on his favor. And we find here Mary, it says repeatedly, she was first highly favored, and she had found favor with God. But I want us to understand, when the announcement was made, perhaps in that exact spot or close to it, years ago, when the angels appeared and they said, "Peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests." God has an assignment for you that only you can fulfill. You know why? Because of his favor. He has chosen you to do something, to be a great blessing, to be used in a certain way that you can influence a lot of people. Why? His favor. He's got an assignment and a blessing for your life. So, number one, when we think about truths about favor for living victoriously, it's bestowed. We can't earn it. And how it's bestowed is out of the goodwill character of God himself. Number two, the second thing we can learn about favor is this. It advances us toward our destiny. The favor of God advances your life towards your purpose and higher destiny. I want to share a story about a fellow by the name of Joseph from the Old Testament. Familiar passage. He's 17 years old. He's got many older brothers, and he has a dream. And the dream was that the brothers and even the parents would one day bow down to him. The brothers became incensed and angry. They wanted to kill him. He was the father's favorite. And as the story goes, they wanted to kill him, but they backed off that. And they sold him to the Ishmaelites, a traveling band that was going through the area. They went back to the father and said he was killed. It was a lie, but they told Dad that he had died. So from age 17 until age 30, Joseph bounced around in different places. He went to an Egyptian household by the name of Potiphar, and the favor of God was upon him. And Potiphar gave him literally control and authority over his entire household except his wife. And one day, the wife, who had eyes for Joseph, made an advance toward him. He resisted and ran out, but his vest was left behind. And what happened was the wife accused him falsely of an advance toward him, Joseph, towards Joseph advancing towards her. And when Potiphar found out about it, he threw Joseph in prison. Now, here's where it's interesting. Joseph is now in a confinement area. He's in prison. And he's probably wondering, what exactly, where am I headed with my life? But let me read two verses from chapter 39. Joseph's master, Potiphar, took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Joseph is in prison, and yet he's receiving favor from God and favor from the prison warden, and the warden trusts him in the prison environment. Now, here's what happened. because of the favor of God on Joseph's life, even though he's in prison, it was preparing him and advancing him for his future destiny. You may be here today and you feel like you're in prison. It may not be bars as we think of a physical building, but you could be in prison in circumstances. It may be in a marriage. It may be in relationship. It could be money. It could be a lot of things. And you feel in prison. Listen, when the favor of God is upon your life, regardless of your circumstances, here's the secret. It is preparing you and helping you and advancing you to get towards your destiny. Our job is to handle it properly. I think Joseph struggled with the unfairness of the brothers selling him off to the Ishmaelites, and he had to deal with all the anger of being separated from his family. But here's the secret. The favor of God was upon his life, and the very circumstances around him, which was prison, being in prison, they were preparing him, and they were being used to advance him toward his future destiny. You know what happened at the age of 30? Because Joseph could interpret Pharaoh's dreams, and Pharaoh had a dream, there's going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine, and Joseph interpreted that dream. He literally was lifted up to be the number two position in all of Egypt. Number two. You see, God is preparing you. And you may be in the prison right now. You may feel like it. But there will come a time where he will lift you up. You will be exalted. You will be set free to a higher level of service. And the favor of God, when we receive it in the time that we're in our prisons, will help prepare us for the higher level of ministry. And Joseph became that person. And it was many years later where he was reunited with his family. But he didn't see his father for about 22 years. When he first got sold into slavery, 22 years went by until he saw his father again. In all those years, the father thought he was dead. But the point is this, whatever you're dealing with now, if you trust and call upon the favor of God, who he is and what he can do with your life, can I tell you, you are being prepared. It will advance you. It will just somehow mold your heart in such a way that the circumstances that are working against you will be for your benefit to prepare you for the higher level ministry and service. That's what favor does. It's what happened to Joseph. So God bestows that we can't earn it. Number two, favor advances us toward our destiny. The psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I want you to think through this with me. When Joseph was in prison, do you feel like he said, oh God, thank you for ordering my steps, because the circumstances were against him. I think when he looked back, after he got elevated, he saw God's hand in ordering the steps as he went through the prison experience. You know why? It prepared him for the higher level of ministry, advancing him toward his destiny. Number three, the third thing about favor that we can learn today about living victoriously is that you and I must position ourselves to receive it. We have to position ourselves to receive favor. Now, there's a great story in 2 Chronicles. It's a book we don't usually refer to much. A guy by the name of Manasseh. Can I tell you, he was not a very nice guy. He was the leader, and he was wicked. And the Bible says that God spoke to Manasseh and the people, but they did not pay attention. It was not a good day for him. And they resisted God. And so God put a ring in his nose, and he let him off to the enemy. I mean, he was in captivity. And I want you to notice what happened right in the midst of this troubling time. Let's read it together. It's verses 12 and 13 in your notes. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, The Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. He's in bondage and in prison of the enemy because of disobedience. I want you to notice, it says he sought the favor of God himself. In the midst of his own sinfulness and disobedience, he sought God's favor. Now notice with me, he humbled himself greatly. You want to get more favor in your life? Just say, God, I'll humble myself before you. I've tried to do it my way. It's not working. And I humble myself. It's having a repentant heart. It's having a sense of humility to confess that we've tried to do it ourselves. And here's what God did. He responded. God will respond to anybody that humbles themselves and has humility in their life. You know what humility is? It's a magnet for grace. It's a magnet for favor to flow into your life. When we humble ourselves before God, he's just drawn to it. And he literally was restored to his kingdom. God worked it all out, so he got it all back. But it was all because he sought the favor of God and he humbled himself before God. Read with me 84:11. It's the verse from Psalm. Let's read it together. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. You know what this means? I think God has favor for all mankind, whether you're a believer or not. But listen, for the person who is responsive to the voice of God in their life, can I tell you? I think he has extra doses of favor. He has something special for any person who expects his grace and his favor. There's a larger quantity of it. There's something deeper. There's something more when we seek to walk blameless. And, of course, we can't do it ourselves. We just have to confess our sins and trust in his forgiveness. And then we become blameless in the grace of Christ. I have two quotes and I'm done. Here's the first one. When God grants you his favor, nothing can stop the blessings he has in store. If he wants to pour out favor in your life, can I tell you, nothing can stop the blessings he's got in store. You know what? It's just his goodwill. It's who he is to us. It's like the husband who married the woman and the child was there. It was a decision of just to be that to them. Here's the second quote. Other people may have more talent, education, or experience, but God's favor can cause you to go places you could not go on your own. I look at some people's lives and the outward appearance, it's not real attractive. It just seems kind of plain. But then when I dive into their life and look at what they've done and how God has used them, I'm amazed. I am absolutely amazed. You know what it is? It's favor. That's it. Favor can overrule or supersede education or lack of experience or whatever it is. Favor is bigger than all that. And you and I can live in favor with God when we pay attention to him. He bestows it. It advances us toward our destiny, even when we feel like we're in prison. And lastly, wow, as we position ourselves and listen and are obedient to his calling, can I tell you, God's favor will take us to places and do things we never thought possible, all because of him living in us. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Here's the big question. Do you have him in your life? Have you ever just Say, Jesus, here's my life. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. If you're here today and you want to do that, or you need to do it, this is a decision moment for you. Just pray this silently after me. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for me. I confess my sins in trying to do it myself. Forgive me. By faith, I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be the one that bestows favor into my entire life, I pray, in your name. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us here today that your arm will be reached out and that you would bestow favor upon each life and upon each family during the month of December and in the year to come. And I pray that you'll help someone here today who is wrestling with the prison-like circumstances in their life, that they will understand that you are using that to prepare them for their destiny and higher ministry in the future. Strengthen that person, I pray. And Lord, now we just position ourselves. We humble ourselves. And we say, God, pour out your favor upon us as an individual and as a church. And take us to a place in life we never dreamed even possible. All because you want us to live victoriously through the favor of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.